We're going to cut in here for Blues and Things with Carl Solander, and I'm Will Moore. I'm joining Carl today, and we also have a really special guest. Charlie Parr is joining us again here on the air, and excited to have him here with us and playing some songs as well. Welcome, Charlie.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to have you back up here. Carl, how are you doing?
I'm fine, and we've been announcing this throughout the week, so it's a real treat to have some live music on Blues and Things. We do this the second Thursday, second Saturday of the month from 3 to 6, and Charlie will be with us here for the first half hour, and he's also playing down at Lutzen at Papa Charlie's last night and tonight as well.
Yep.
So welcome.
Thank you so much.
So how'd the thing go last night? It's Portal 3 is the new group, right?
Well, Portal 3 is an experimental, improvisational drone project, and it went well. It's kind of different every time, and it's enjoyable for me to get out of the thing that I usually do. Mm-hmm. I play electric guitar. Kind of affected electric guitar, and it's really nice to do something a little different for a minute.
How did you get involved with that group? I know Liz is in it, but there's some more members too.
It's Liz Draper on bass and Chris Gray on percussion, and Liz and I have played together a lot over the past few years, and we talked about trying something different. She does some experimental music on her own, and so. Mm. I really wanted to try and dip my toe into that water a little bit, and she's not just a good friend, but she's also been kind of a teacher of mine and different musical kind of things. So it feels really comfortable and safe to do this project with her and Chris.
So it's like mostly improvisational when you're doing the
show? It's all improvisational.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's 100% improvisational. So the things that we do. Are never really. We recorded, four pieces that we'll never play again, but they'll be released in April.
Captured at least.
We captured four different improvisations. They'll be released in April on vinyl. And then we have our shows are usually 40 to 50 minute piece, one single piece, and then that's it.
That sounds a lot like what. Sparhawk is going with this drones, not drone deal.
Yeah, it fits in really well with that genre.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been trying to incorporate some kind of visual art with the project as well. So last night we had an artist doing oil projections on a overhead projector. So you're using colored oils and project them onto the wall behind the band because it's nothing to really look at. We all just sit there quietly and drone away at this stuff. But then we've done music for film in a live setting before, and that's been interesting too.
That's like what they did back in like the 60s, right? When they get that psychedelic thing going.
Exactly.
Cool stuff.
Exactly.
But tonight it's Charlie Parr. It's the main group with that?
Yeah, it's the trio. I've been doing some music with it's the same group. We just play my songs in more of a... band kind of setting than usual. Usually, I'm still primarily 90% of the time I'm still just a solo artist.
Right.
So that's my focus and probably always will be. But it's really fun to get to play with other people on occasion.
Yeah, cool.
There was a nice article in the Star Tribune. I don't know if you saw it just the other day, Thursday or Friday, about playing down at the Turf Club, I believe.
Oh,
on different
I didn't
settings.
See that.
Yeah, it's a nice feature. With you and the Cactus Blossoms and some of the other folks that have been playing there you're there on Monday or Wednesday, something like that?
I'm there every Sunday.
Sunday?
In January.
Yeah.
The Cactus Blossoms are every Monday.
Yeah.
And it's been a thing that I think them and myself, we've done residencies in January now, I think going on 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. So. It's in the variety section. You should get a hold of it.
I'll try to look at
that.
Cool. Well, Charlie, let's start off with a song.
All right. Here, I'll play this as a... called On Stealing a Sailboat.
Well, me and my buddy Ed, we were walking down by the dock one day just to look looking at all of them good-looking boats out there. Oh, I wish I had a boat, says Ed. I laugh, because he's always broke. I said, Ed, you can't even afford to float. You can't afford to float, Ed. Drifting away from the shore. Well, we got down there near the end. You know, all the sailboats are tied up out there with the big tall mast bombing around in the air. Ed says, I could sail one of those. Oh, you don't even need a key, I said, Ed. It ain't that easy. I don't believe it's that easy, Ed. Drifting away from the shore. Experience in the matter, and he proceeded to untie a boat, you know what, and then he just jumped right inside. Oh, I followed him in, but I think it was a bad idea, cause now we are drifting away from the dock. We're drifting away from the shore, Ed. We are drifting away from the shore. On the tiller, you know, cranks on some levers. He tells me to row. I said, Ed. Then he paddles, and someone on the dock is yelling at us, and he sounds pretty mad, and I begin to regret taking a walk with Ed. Oh, I wish I'd stayed at home, Ed, instead of drifting away from the shore. Then he jumped right over the side, you know, he started swimming like a fool for the shoreline. Oh, I can't swim though, you know, I never even learned how. Now I'm just sitting here in this stolen boat wondering what it's gonna feel like to get shot. Oh, I bet that's gonna hurt, Ed. Drifting away from the shore. I didn't even know that the police had a boat. On the way back down to the dock, I saw Ed climbing onto the rocks and hauling ass down the sidewalk. Don't ask me to go walking with you again, Ed. Drifting away from the shore.
There you go. What do you think of that one, Carl?
That was certainly an interesting story.
I love it. I hope that there's, you know, maybe not entirely true, but I hope there's a shred of truth or some basis of reality of that,
there is
of that song.
Definitely got to be a shred of reality in that song.
Good old Ed. Charlie Parr is joining us right now and playing a song that's on his latest album, which came out, I want to say, September. And that one was just called Charlie Parr, and it's got kind of, it's just you and Liz and Mikkel on it. Is that it?
It's got Dave Hundreiser on some harmonica, and then my friend Jeff Mitchell, who's a guitarist from Milwaukee. Well, he's from Minnesota. He lives in Milwaukee. He came up to play some guitar, a little bit of vocals, and also played accordion on one of the songs. Mm. And he did the artwork on the cover.
Oh, the nice portrait of you and the guitar.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This is number 15, I read.
Something like that. Yeah. It depends on how you count. Because I've done a couple of live records that don't get counted, really. So it's either 15 or 19.
Okay.
But, you know, I started recording things in 2000 when it was like, it was cheap and it was easy. And I recorded a record every single year, whether I should have or not, you know. So there's out of 15 records, I think there are two of them that are any good.
Yeah. Did you just use like a at home 4-track recorder or something? Or
No, I had buddies with stuff. It just I didn't go to studios that often. I'd find spaces that I liked and other garages or other bands' practice spaces or Dave's living room or and we just bring microphones and a friend of mine had one of these quarter-inch reel-to-reel tape decks, and we just record everything on that thing. So it's all tape, It was all, analog, decent equipment, but, just never in a studio.
Yeah. I've never owned a reel-to-reel. You must have owned a reel-to-reel tape at some point.
I had a reel-to-reel TEAC.
TEAC was one of the ones we had. The other one was actually a machine that was used for film soundtrack work.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it, but it was a little tiny one, but it was really, really high quality, and we recorded a lot of stuff on that. Tom Herbers had that and recorded that with me. So
very cool.
Well, so I always wanted to ask you, your influences. You've probably been asked 100 times, but did you hear a lot of blues growing up in your home, or?
I got really lucky when I was a kid. He was really heavily into music, even though he didn't play an instrument. He always wanted to, but he was a laborer and he didn't have, money or time to buy instruments and lessons. But he had a record collection that was. It reflected all of his broad interests. He liked old country western music. He liked some contemporary country. Well, contemporary country western to my father was Johnny Cash.
Right.
He had a little bit of that. He had a couple of blues records. He didn't even remember how he got some of this stuff, but he had the first Arhuli record, the one that they did on Mance Lipscomb. It was recorded. It was called Texas Songster, and it was recorded in his kitchen. And that record changed my life when I was 7 years old. I listened to that record a lot. And he had a Lightnin' Hopkins record called Blues in My Bottle that my dad liked that a lot.
Right.
And he had Albert King's Live Wire Blues Power that he didn't know how that got into his record collection, but he had it there, and I loved it. Albert King, as far as electric guitar, still is one of my very favorite guitar players. And then he had, I think, three records out of the Harry Smith Anthology of American Folk Music.
Okay.
They didn't have covers. It was just records, And I listened to everything, and music played in my house all the time. He wasn't into television that much. We listened to records all the time. And in the back of the house where my sister had her room, and she was older than me by 14 years, and she was into, the Beatles and the Stones and the Grateful Dead. But, it was funny because in the front of the house, when you listen to the Harry Smith Anthology, there's Memphis Jug Band songs. And if you go to the back of the house, and my sister's listening to the Grateful Dead, they're covering Memphis Jug Band songs.
Right, right.
So you end up getting kind of this weird education. And of course, I wanted to learn how to play. And I wanted to learn how to play because of that Mance Lipscomb record. That was what I wanted to learn how to do. And I'm still trying to do that. But it was really lucky because up and down the block where I lived, there was not a lot of music fans like my dad. There was a few of them, and there was a guy down the street who played a banjo, and I learned a lot from hanging out with him. And there was a guy on the other end of the street who played in a polka band, and they would set up in their garage on Saturday nights and play for the whole neighborhood. And that was always fun. And he was a great guitar player. He was a polka style guitar player.
Okay.
So I was lucky. I got exposed, to a wide variety of music. I mean, blues music was what I gravitated towards the most. But I still, I love music. I listen to it every day, and a lot of different kinds of music. So.
I love that image. That was in Austin.
It was in Austin, Minnesota,
I love that image of just like a weekly polka band in a small town in Minnesota.
It was so weird. It would have been like 73, 74, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I was, 7, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. But my job was to keep an eye on my dad. And when it seemed like he had, enough Ole in them to get them home. So they'd have a big barrel full of ice and Olympia beer, and dad would be plicking those out of there, and I'd watch him, and then when he looked like he had enough, I'd kind of lead him on home.
Oh, man.
You know, you mentioned...
The seven-year-old bouncer.
You mentioned Lightning Hopkins. Years ago, I visited Chris Strachwitz out in El Cerrito, yeah. And there was a filmmaker that was in the same building there, Les Blank.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, have you ever seen that documentary film of Lightning?
I have.
Isn't that wonderful?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. I love all those, that film, and the one, there's one, Lightning and Mance. There's a bunch of footage of Lightning and Mance and Mance's brother.
Okay.
And they're outside somewhere playing, and it's wonderful stuff.
Well, that one is, you know, Lightning's outside in the farmyard or something with a bottle of whiskey, a flask in his back pocket and everything.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's really good stuff.
Awesome. Charlie Parr is joining us right now here on Blues and Things, and you can catch him tonight as part of the ski party at Lutzen Mountains down at Papa Charlie's. That's going to start at 9, and I think you guys are going on 2nd.
We are. Humbird starts out tonight, and the Cactus Blossoms finish it, and we're in the middle.
Excellent. Let's do another song.
All right.
Into cathedrals, leaves are gone from the trees. Along the highway, they just stand like skeleton bones pushed into sand. And my home is where my love abides. And my home is where my love abides. My home is where my love abides. Colored rivers that wash iron all the way down to the lake. Lives led in solitude from snow to snow, heirloom land with no fence for a gate. And my home is where my love abides. And my home is where my love abides. My home where my love abides. Well, Duluth is lost. Mist that escapes, all that escapes from underneath the streets, hides in doorways and hides faces and makes the lake seem loud. The waves roll, crash and retreat. My home is where my love abides. My home is where my love abides. My home is where my love abides. My home. The rangers come down from their slab house board Viking ships that are bound for Norway. on a push out over Superior, past the cross and past the light into the sea, and my home, where my love abides. My home is where my love abides. My home is where my love abides. My home.
Now, is that on the new CD, Charlie?
No.
No? That's
no, that's old. Actually from two records ago. Okay. I just felt like playing it.
That was Stump Jumper, I want to say?
It's on Stump Jumper. That one's called Temperance River Blues.
Oh, yeah, of course. Good one for having up here on the North Shore, of course. Charlie Parr is joining us. You can catch him tonight as part of the ski party at Papa Charlie's down in Lutzen. Starts at 9. Charlie will be going on probably closer to 10 down there. I saw that you had a music video that like just came out like very recently.
Yeah, that surprised me, too. But a very, very talented filmmaker who I was working with probably around 9 or 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
On helping. I mean, I was one of the musicians that helped him do some music for the film he was working on. And I don't know what happened with the film, but in the midst of making the film, he apparently made this video. It's got some clips from the film he was working on in it. It's got my part that I went to Eau Claire and recorded a couple of songs in front of the cameras that he could, like, you know, work into the film.
Right, yeah.
And then he used all that footage and the audio that he had taken and made that video of Where You Gonna Be. And I was really impressed with it. He's a really talented filmmaker, and I was completely taken by surprise that he even did that.
That's so wild that you didn't even know it was going to happen.
It's cool though. I like stuff like that. I didn't have to, you know, really do anything.
Yeah, it was easy. If you want to see it, Carl, it's got like extreme close-ups of Charlie's face interspersed with like pictures of a guy running across a frozen lake or something.
With his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
He's running on ice with his hands in his pockets.
Doesn't seem that
well, he falls down at the very end.
He's got like a bright orange hunting hat on so he doesn't get shot. It's pretty good.
And it's funny because I saw it. I realized how, you know, it was probably 10 years ago that footage was made, and my beard is brown.
I didn't notice that, but now that you mention it, that's good stuff. You want to read the thing?
Yeah, I'll read a couple of our sponsors here. WTIP Community Radio is supported by your membership and also by folks like the North Shore Commercial Fishing Museum, dedicated to collecting, preserving, and educating about the maritime heritage of commercial fishing on the North Shore of Lake Superior. They're located on Highway 61 at the Sawbill Trail in Tofte, and you can find them online at commercialfishingmuseum.org.
I was going to ask if you're still touring around solo style and you know, cooking food on the manifold of the engine and going around the country that way.
Yeah, most of my touring now is solo, mm-hmm. And this year has been really busy. I kind of left in August and started in Europe and England and then hit both coasts and part of the South before I stopped in December. The little car, I've got it fixed up for, you know, all it really is there's a wire harness that I fix up to hold food against the exhaust manifold. Mm-hmm. But it's burning oil now, and I'm not really sure if that's going to affect
the food
or
maybe not.
You know, every other time I've done this, it's been in, you know, relatively clean burning cars. You know, this the motor of this one is now kind of grimy, so I haven't really been doing much of it. Plus, you know, as the weather gets colder, you can't, you know, you can't cook. My dad had a late '60s F-250 with a straight six in it, and that was the best best motor to cook on, because this the Ford Straight Six has an exhaust manifold. It's like, you know, six cylinders long.
Was it vertical? So the front of it was just massive.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the Straight Six comes straight up and it's 300 cubic inches, and the exhaust manifold comes out like a shelf, and you can put a lot of food on that. And those vehicles in 1967 were not efficient, you know, so it got hot. Mm-hmm. But the little Kia that I have, that's way too efficient to really cook. You know, you can warm stuff up. You know, it's like a low wattage microwave. Old truck, you know, you could my dad had this thing that he would do that I thought was hilarious, because my uncle built kind of a Dutch oven for the thing. And so it was like sheet metal with a top, and you could go, and if you saw some sweet corn on the side of the road, you could pick, you know, sweet corn, pull the fuzz off the top of it and throw it in that box
and roast it.
And,
wow.
And it, you know, this is, I didn't make this stuff
Thanksgiving
up.
Dinner on
old.
This thing.
This is old stuff. Railroad engineers from the steam days used to heat up their food on the, you know, on the boiler of the train. So
I would love to see you traveling cross country in a 67 250. See how far that gets you.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I could afford to get very far. The Kia gets 40 miles to the gallon. So.
There we go. Charlie Parr is joining us right now, playing tonight at Papa Charlie's. Let's do a song again.
Another song?
Yeah.
How about I'll play that one from the video?
Oh, yeah, great.
This is an old song, too, but this is called Where Are You Gonna Be When the Good Lord Calls You Home.
An excuse, you can tell it to the cop, they ain't nobody gonna listen to you till your lying stops. Where are you gonna be when your name comes to the top? Say, how you gonna react to the moving hand of God? Trembling your boots with your face down in the side, you're gonna run like hell, brother, and hope you don't get caught. How you gonna react to the moving hand of God? Will you be ready at the fountain for the Lamb of God to call? Will you be ready when what you thought was mighty starts to fall? Call upon your neighbor, your family, and all. Will you be ready at the fountain for the Lamb of God to call? And will your feet be in the sand when Jesus knocks upon your door? Your dreams will wash away when you crash on through the floor, and all you try to hold on to will never stand no more. Will your feet be in the sand when Jesus knocks upon your door?
Charlie, what's the story on this guitar you're playing?
This guitar is made by a company from Saginaw, Michigan, called Mule Resonator Guitars.
Okay.
This particular one is made out of stainless steel. The body's made out of stainless steel. It's got a torrified maple neck on it, and it's a tricone. So there's inside the body, there are three resonating cones, two on the bass side, one on the treble side, and they're all handmade. in Saginaw, Michigan.
It's a contemporary.
It's a contemporary take on an old design. The design is actually from 1927, when John DoPera took out a patent. John DoPera and George Beauchamp took out a patent on a resonator guitar that was never actually built. It had one. This one has one cover plate on it, a round cover plate, and inside that is actually a triangular sound well with three resonator cones in it. And there's a patent for that guitar. There's a design for it and a prototype made in 1927. It was never built in production until Matt started building them. What they ended up doing was they made single cone guitars that has one resonating cone inside of it, and they made tri-cone guitars that have three but then has a triangular cover plate over the top of them. So this particular instrument was designed in 1927 and not built until recently. So this guitar is about 2 years old.
And you use that one pretty exclusively nowadays.
So, I fell in love so hard with this guitar. Yeah. I played Nationals for a long time, which I love, and I've got, you know, the National I've got at home I would never part with for anything, and I play it a lot. But this guitar has a totally different kind of sound that, you know, just comes from the unique thing that it is.
Okay,
very cool. What's coming up next for you, Charlie, in 2020, and what's on the docket?
Same old. I'm going to play shows, drive around, play more shows, and hopefully that'll be what I get to do. That's all I've ever wanted to do. So, and then by the end of the year, I'm going to do some recording, and there'll be another record coming out in 2021. That's my goal, is to do the same thing that I've been doing some more.
That's a good goal to have. Keep going while you're ahead.
Right.
That's good. I was going to ask, if you're going around the South and driving around, are there any places that you like to stop at that are really important to blues history and stuff?
Well, there are tons of places. I've become friends with Jimmy Duck Holmes, who runs a juke joint in Bentonia, Mississippi, called the Blue Front Cafe. I highly recommend everybody stopping in and saying hi to Jimmy if they get a chance. Blue Front Cafe.
Blue Front, okay.
And Bentonia is unique in blues history. It's the home of Skip James and the kind of Bentonia tuning, which is basically a D minor kind of tuning that Skip James used a lot. And Jack Owens is from there, and those guys and Henry Stuckey kind of passed on the tuning and a lot of these songs. And Jimmy Duck Holmes is still there playing them.
Wow.
It's definitely a place I'd recommend, you know, blues fans go and visit. You know, there's a lot of graveyards down there, but, you know, and you can see the graves of your heroes, but there's a few live people down there playing. And Como, Mississippi, R.L. Boyce is still playing up there. He's a contemporary guitar player, plays in the style of guys like Garfield Akers and Joe Calicott and Mississippi Fred McDowell, all from Como. You know, all that stuff is kind of still there. And
Clarksdale's not far from there.
Good. And I love going to Clarksdale.
Yeah.
They've done some amazing things with that town, you know, and have at least one or maybe two now really impressive blues festivals throughout the year.
Right.
And the Delta Blues Museum is in Clarksdale. That's worth going to see.
You just found your next trip, Carl.
Pardon?
You just found your next trip to go.
No,
on.
I've been down there.
Okay.
Yeah,
then that's my next trip,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, you should go down, at least go to Clarksdale and visit the Delta Blues Museum, because it's well worth a trip.
Helena has one, too.
Okay.
Helena.
Yeah, Helena. Well, I was just in Charlotte not too long ago, and that's Piedmont Country down there, the county. Yeah.
Yeah, I play a lot down around the Triangle and Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Reverend Gary Davis, and Elizabeth Cottonland down there, so good stuff.
Cool stuff.
I heard you do the God Moves on the Water. I mentioned that you've been playing that too.
I play. I kind of my God Moves on the Water is kind of a mashup of Blind Willie Johnson and Mississippi Fred McDowell.
Okay, well, that's a great mashup.
Blues mashups.
Yeah, you can't find a couple of better guys than that. But.
Cool. Charlie's going to be playing tonight at Lutzen at the Papa Charlie's. The evening starts at 9 p.m. with Humbird, who we had here, if you caught her last night, did a great set on Scenic Route, and then Cactus Blossoms as well will be heading off the night. So, Charlie, do you got one more song for us before we head out here?
I absolutely do. I will play that. I'll play God Moves on the Water for you guys.
Awesome.
Thanks for doing that one, Charlie.
It's a pleasure.
Love
it. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Charlie.
Thank you guys for having me today. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
He's going to be tonight at Papa Charlie's around 10 p.m. for part of the Ski Party Music Festival. And you can find more information about that at Lutzen.com.
Are you playing in Duluth this winter or anywhere?
Yeah, I'm playing in Superior, Wisconsin every Wednesday. There's three more Wednesdays of January. I'll be there every Wednesday at the Cedar Lounge in Superior, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then at the end of the month, the last day of January, I'm playing at the Duluth Folk School in a benefit that we're doing for Waldorf School for kids up there. So
okay.
that'll be the last day of January.
The Sounds Cedar. Good. Yeah, that's in Superior. Okay.
I think we're going to play out here with this Sippy Wallace tune. This is Women Be Wise. Thanks again, Charlie.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.